This is Kate Harness with 307 Net Radio, and today I'm joined by Adam Teaton, who's going to talk to us about American Legion Baseball. Good morning, Adam. How are you?
Good morning, Kate. I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Good. You're welcome. So, we're almost at the beginning of season, are we? Have you started practicing for baseball yet?
We have officially started. March marked the beginning of our required practice schedule for our kids. We've actually had kids in the gym since November who have wanted to come and work on things. So...
Okay, so bring us up to speed. What's going on with American Legion Baseball? This is the third year that you've been in the Legion League.
Yeah, so Buffalo had American Legion Baseball back into the 80s. 1986 was the last year they were affiliated with American Legion. So we had a very long hiatus without American Legion Baseball. And for those that don't know, the American Legion program is essentially the varsity version of baseball in Wyoming because it's not offered as a high school sport at this time. We are in our third year. We're still bruised shins and skinned knees and, you know, knuckles that are beat up from learning our lessons and developing this program and trying to develop it in a way that makes it sustainable for future generations. So.
And I think that's something that you want to really underscore, that this is a program, not just a couple of teams.
Absolutely.
So tell me about that. What's going on? What are you doing to build a program?
So for the past 2 years, we feel like we've been trying to establish that presence. And just part of that is taking that baby step, that yes, baseball does exist here. We have families and especially kids that are interested in it as a pursuit beyond Buffalo, or is just continuing to play because they love the game. And our goal this year is to really establish that culture that sets kids up for taking the lessons they learn on the field and using them down the road, whether it's in college, as an employee, as an employer, a business owner, or as a baseball player, if they want to take it as far as they want to take it.
Okay. And, we were talking a little earlier about bat and ball sports and how they're different from other athletic athletic activities. And you remarked to me that, you know, it's basically it's a game of failing. You just don't fail as badly as the other team because it's hard to succeed. It's hard to hit the ball. It's hard to field the ball and win and so on.
The physical aspects of the game of baseball are very difficult. I mean, just in principle, you're trying to hit a round object moving at you at a high rate of speed with another round object, and you're trying to hit it squarely. I mean, just explaining it doesn't make a lot of sense, but should highlight how difficult that truly is. And at the professional level, if you're successful 30% of the time, you're in the Hall of Fame. So when we're talking about middle school and high school kids experiencing success, the lessons we learn on how to deal with our failures and manage our emotions and manage our own expectations and maintain a work ethic through that failure is really what we're highlighting. Because those successes are going to come. It's navigating the failures to get to the successes that we're really trying to build on.
How was last season? Let's look back for a moment to talk about success. How was last season, and what are you looking forward to developing from this season? Do you have a number of players who've stuck with you this year?
Absolutely. That's a great question. So our A program, which is essentially our varsity program, we're returning everyone and have three new kids that have come in. Now, we had a couple of kids that did drop for various reasons. Attrition's part of just about everything.
It's a pretty broad age group, though, isn't it? Isn't it from 12 upwards?
On our A program, it's 15 through 19s.
Okay.
Our C program is 13 through 15s.
Okay. And maybe you'd just explain to us why you don't have a B team.
Sure. So the way that American Legion Baseball is set up in the state of Wyoming, there are four classes. There's AA and Single A, which are both viewed as varsity programs, and those are 19 and under. So if you've got a 6'2", 200-pound 13-year-old that can throw 80 miles an hour, they're probably playing varsity baseball. Mm-hmm. That's one of the benefits of it not necessarily being a high school-affiliated program. Now, those are outliers, and you're talking about one out of every 100 kids that might have that opportunity. From a JV standpoint, there's a B class, and that is 17 and under. And then there's the C class, which is the second team we offer, and that's 13 to 15-year-olds. So we have a varsity, which is our A program, 19 and under, and then we have that junior varsity developmental program, which is 13 to 15.
Okay. And we were talking about success. Mm-hmm. I distracted you. What was last season like, and what are you hoping for this season?
So last year was a mixed bag. We lost our C program last year. We didn't have the numbers for kids to come out and fill that C program. And
why do you think?
For a lot of reasons. With our Little League programs, our 12U, we didn't have a hard age cutoff because we were unaffiliated. So that allowed parents to kind of choose their own adventure. And we had 14 or 15 kids that played 12U ball that, by all rights, were 13 and should have been playing C ball. As a board, we didn't lay out that hard line, and we may have been, you know, at this point in time, we're reaping what we sowed with that and trying to restart that C program. This year we did establish the age cutoff and hard line, and our C team is thin. We've got 10 committed to that age group, but it's there. We've got 10 kids that are interested in playing. So, and they've got about a 25-game schedule this year, which will be good for them.
Okay. And so how is this season going to look? What are you hoping for this season?
That's a great question. We're very early in this stage. I've been talking to the kids about our identity. We don't know who we are yet.
Who is coaching?
So I'm the head coach of the mm-hmm. A program. Jake Rodner's
is
the
that
head.
Is that a new role for you?
It is. Last year I was on the board. Our board decided not to return any of our coaches we had on staff last year. I applied and interviewed, knowing that, you know, it may not be the case. I have 37 years in baseball, whether playing, umpiring, or coaching, and I do very much invest a lot of my own time and effort, and I very much care about this game.
So what's your coaching style, Adam? How do you describe yourself? How did you say
that's probably a better question for one of the kids that I'm coaching than it is myself. I'm very, very critical of myself. Because this game is so centered around failure, the successors are very focused on repetition. And the more opportunity and effort, and maybe I'll take a step back with this. The message I have to the kids this year is this is about attitude and effort. Your attitude and effort will ultimately affect your production. And for a lot of sport, production is what everyone's measured by. If you do that in baseball or softball, any of these bat and ball sports, you're going to be frustrated because production isn't necessarily something that's always evident. You know, you can have, I'll use Mike Trout as an example, perhaps the best professional baseball player on the planet right now. He hit successfully 28% of the time in his at-bats last year. 28% does not sound successful, but he is literally the best baseball player on the planet right now. So we've got to understand that subjectively and objectively for each player what success might look like. You know, I might have a kid that defensively is just lights out and super reliable but struggles offensively. It's a marriage. You've got to be able to play both, and sometimes we make sacrifices for less offensive production for defensive soundness or vice versa. And the message to my kids right now is, you know, your attitude and effort will lead that production. If you're coming to practice and recognize that we're working through failures and building on those fail-forward moments rather than harboring those failures or dwelling on them, that will affect your effort because your attitude's better. If attitude and effort are better, that production's going to show itself. So
we already talked about this is a program, not mm-hmm. just a team or two.
Mm-hmm.
The programs in little towns and small communities are very challenging. The pool of players or even potential players is always small. What are you going to do as a board to kind of address those challenges?
Well, I think, and I'm not going to speak for the board because I'm not on it anymore. I can only speak for myself. But I feel like the board giving me the keys to the program, essentially, at this stage in our program, they're recognizing that cultural side of things needs as much addressing as maybe the win-loss record side of things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I look at high school baseball or high school basketball, any high school sport, that's not the end for these kids. We're trying to raise young adults that will go out into their communities, whether they choose Buffalo or Dearborn, Michigan is the place they want to set up shop, so that they're able to be positive influences for their families, their employers, the volunteer organizations that they pursue, and be able to navigate those waters successfully. Because as adults, we know failure's in our face every time we open the door, and even more often than not before we even leave our own homes. And being able to handle and work through those failures and learn through those failures is a theme you have to understand and have to be comfortable with and have to know how to navigate to find success on a baseball field.
Sure. And I think, you know, many parents encourage or require their kids to be involved in some kind of athletic pursuit, you know, because of the life lessons that you learn. It's mm-hmm. not just about being busy or winning or being part of a team, but it's actually about all those lessons that yep. you learn in terms of, you know, commitment, showing up, adversity, winning.
Recognizing your position.
Absolutely.
You know, not everyone can be a starting shortstop. Yeah. There's one of those on the field for mm-hmm. every game.
Yeah.
You might have 10 kids that want to do it, but there's really only one of them that can earn that opportunity. And that's a theme, too, that I'm really promoting with our A-team this year. You know, we're operating with a defined depth chart. My kids are going to know where they stand within the team, and they should know that. They should know that, you know, there's a competitive environment not only when Green River comes to town to play us, but when we're practicing, getting prepared for that. You know, no one's handed a starting position. It's something that you've got to go out and prove that you deserve. You've got to prove it to me as a coach, but more importantly, you've got to prove it to your teammates that they can trust you. Mm-hmm. So
we talked about this not being a school sport. Why, mm-hmm. why is it not a school sport? Is it just a question of dollars?
I think that's part of it.
Is it a school sport anywhere in Wyoming?
No. So there's only three states in the country where baseball is not a high school sport.
Not a high school
Not a high school sport. Alaska, South Dakota, and Wyoming are the only three states that do not offer high school baseball.
That's a big cultural statement about Wyoming.
It is, but on the flip side, our American Legion program is one of the most vibrant in the country. Last year, there were 56 American Legion teams in the state of Wyoming, of various classes. I don't know that we have 56 football teams. I don't know that we have 56 basketball programs. I'm speaking off the cuff. I haven't done the research. But when you hear 56 baseball programs in the state of Wyoming, that culture exists.
So as we're speaking here today, there is snow on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It is definitely not baseball weather. And so you would expect there to neighboring states who have similar weather mm-hmm. patterns that we do, you know, would also kind of be reflecting that if it was a geographical thing. So mm-hmm. it's not a weather issue about our seasons not being right.
It definitely doesn't make it easier.
Of course it doesn't. And, yeah. and for soccer too.
Yeah. I think the money side of it, I mean, when you talk about baseball, you've got a baseball field that you have to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
We have a gem that needs some serious polishing in Pruszynski Park. It might be one of the best settings for baseball in the state. It's a beautiful place to come and play. Right next to the creek, the trees. Mm-hmm. It's somewhat protected down in the bottom, so we don't necessarily have to deal with the
lovely
wind.
Lovely central location.
Beautifully centralized location. Again, it's just a facility that probably hasn't had the necessary TLC it needs. And we know that. There are some parts of it that are in some serious disrepair. And the city and our program have been in conversations about what needs to be addressed. We've actually developed with some of the local engineers a plan to completely rehabilitate Pruszynski.
What kind of work does it need?
Everything. The infield's about 6 inches higher than the outfield. The first base dugout's collapsing on itself. The fence hasn't been addressed in 40 years. There is no center field fence. We put up a temporary center field fence every year. There's a marsh along the right field foul line that this year might leak all the way out into right field. Who knows? You know, there's just a lot of structural stuff that, for lack of attention, has turned into, you know, bullet wounds you can't put a Band-Aid on anymore.
And, of course, there's some fields further up to the west, out as you go up towards the mountain, you know, just past the senior center, there are some fields there, and mm-hmm. I think the younger...
Yeah, and that's set up to house our 12U programs and our softball programs, because base paths are not a lot different from our 12U to softball. Initially, that plan provided for a fourth field that was supposed to be the high school field, and it was hardly started, let alone finished. And at this point in time, Mother Nature's reclaimed it to the point where it needs a full started from scratch point anyway. So why not focus on the one that we get a play on versus one that doesn't exist?
Sure. So, season's coming up fairly soon. When's your first game?
The A-team plays their first home games May 14th against Sheridan's B.
Not really too far away. Not a couple of months.
Yeah, it'll be here before we know it.
That's not a lot of practice time.
No. And the way our practice schedule works out right now, our kids are required one day a week in the month of March. We do that for a couple of reasons. We know a lot of our athletes are multi-sport athletes, and we encourage that. And a lot of our athletes are also involved in other school activities, and we encourage that. This community doesn't have the size or participation at any level to have single-sport athletes. And in fact, my coaching philosophy, I'm a hard no against specializing in high school. And when you talk to college coaches, there's a lot of college coaches that they're not super excited about a kid only being a basketball player or a football player or a soccer player or a baseball player. Deion Sanders is a great example of that. He just took over the Colorado Buffaloes Division I college baseball or football program. He was on a podcast last week, and he spent the first 10 minutes talking about the importance of multi-sport athletes as they transition into the collegiate level.
So tell us, what are the benefits that those coaches see from being a multi-sport athlete?
I'm going to steal what he said, because he said it amazingly. He looks at defensive backs, and he would love to see defensive backs that play baseball, because tracking a football is very similar to tracking a baseball. He wants to see linemen or running backs who played first base or third base or shortstop because of the lateral movement that's required. Quarterbacks that pitch. I mean, you're talking about throwing something hard and accurate repeatedly. Mm-hmm. The overlaps there perfectly. I love track athletes that are sprinters and jumpers, because that speed and that agility translates to a baseball field very well and complements very well on a track. Basketball players and baseball players go hand in hand outside of throwing. The defensive positioning for basketball is the same defensive positioning that we teach in baseball. Getting a chest forward over your toes, you're moving constantly, you're not stagnant. So there's a lot of benefits to that, to multi-sport athletes. And we encourage and honor our kids that do school sports in our program, because it's necessary. It helps them navigate both sports differently. It allows them some perspective for both sports or multiple sports. It's really easy to get into an echo chamber and just assume that's how everything operates. So,
thank you for that. And so season starts pretty soon.
Yep.
First game's May 18th, and you go right the way till the end of July, I believe.
Yep. Our state tournament is the last week in July. It's a tournament you have to qualify for. You have to finish in the top four at districts for that to happen. This, in my opinion, is our best opportunity to do that. We returned, like I said, all of our starters, four of which were second-team all-conference selections last year. And I'll toot horns. Dominic Gonzalez is our lone senior, our lone 19-year-old. He was a second-team all-conference selection last year. He's a defensive leader on the field. He's a place where baseballs go to die in center field. The kid can cover ground, and he's fun to watch play defense. He's also one of our strongest pitchers. Broden Lambert was a second-team all-conference selection and is probably the ace of our staff. Broden's put a lot of work in this winter on his pitching, and it's showing. Bryce Camino was our starting third baseman last year. he was a second team all-conference selection for the second year in a row. He's one of our strong offensive producers at the plate and a great defensive ball player and has really stepped up his game pitching. And then Turner Pruitt was our starting catcher last year in a second team all-conference selection and is returning. And then we have a lot of kids that have grown this year that we expect big things from.
So you have some fairly seasoned players.
I would say all of them.
So except fun to watch. Fun to come and watch. If you're looking for something to do on a lovely summer's evening.
With plenty of opportunities. We have 7 home dates, which is 14 games because we play doubleheaders every time we have a date. So there will be 14 home games at Pruszynski for the A team. There's 12 home games for the C team. So 13 dates and 26 games to watch at Pruszynski Park this year. If you're a fan of baseball or if you're interested and want to see what we're about. I'm excited for it. I wouldn't do this if I wasn't excited for it. I'm excited to see these kids challenge themselves and be in positions to be challenged. Because not everyone, if you give kids the opportunity, they're going to take the easy way out most of the time. Very seldom do they go, oh, that's hard, I want to go do that. Mm-hmm. And this game doesn't allow for that. There's not a lot of easy way outs in baseball or softball. So
you are coaching. Do you have any assistants working with you?
At this point in time, we don't. So Nate Killian is a former Buffalo High School graduate. He played for the Troopers for the last couple of years. He's going to be joining Jake in June when he finishes with his semester
Jake.
In Oregon. Rodner, our C team coach.
Okay, he's your C team coach.
Yep, and Nate will be the assistant for C team. I have a handful of people that have volunteered spot support, mm-hmm. but trying to find someone that wants to commit to that schedule has been difficult.
It is an intense schedule.
It is. We play 46 games in 6 weeks.
And how far away are you traveling?
So fortunately this year, the way we did scheduling, the farthest we travel, I think, is Torrington or Powell, about the same, 3.5-4 hours. We kept everything locally for both teams this year for a couple of reasons, one being financially, and two, just for ease of logistics. Mm-hmm. We do have some plans next year to try and go out of state for a couple of bigger tournaments, but that requires some planning that we need to address this year before we schedule that next year. So,
well, Adam, is there anything else that we haven't covered?
From the cultural side of things and the baseball understanding side of things, this community, not to a fault of their own, because we have seen pretty successful blips of high school baseball. Mm-hmm. I know when Mike and Kelly Bender were running the Senior Babe Ruth program 8 years ago, 10 years ago, they had some great success and some solid teams. There was a gap.
That does come partially baked in the cake, though, doesn't it, of having a small pool of potential players that, sometimes, communities that you see rises and falls in terms of success in different sports because of the ability and the interest and the way that athletes can commit.
Absolutely, and that's a great point. We have 25, 30 kids playing 12U baseball. How can we only have 4 playing 13, 15 ball? We understand, as everyone does, as kids grow older, there come times when families and kids have to start making decisions about what they're willing to commit to. And, I'll be the first to admit I have a very biased opinion towards wanting to see baseball and softball in this community gain its foothold. We have the interest here. I think one of the things that's been a little bit of a deterrent for baseball to see that long-term program-style success is there hasn't been a consistent varsity-level program for those 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old kids to look up to and look forward to, like they do when they come to a Bison football game or a Bison basketball game. You see kids running around the gyms, and their eyes are the size of dinner plates, and they're looking at the seniors and the juniors on the varsity program and going, I'm going to be that guy next year or in 6 years or whatever the case may be. And we're in year 3 of trying to establish that with our program. We're seeing more interest with the younger kids of looking up to our older kids. And I'm putting our older kids in a position to be looked up to. Like, you're not doing this just for yourself anymore. you're paving the way for the 8-year-old that you don't even know that might be interested in being the next Bulls starting pitcher or starting shortstop. So,
and what you're describing there is building a program, not just annual teams.
Not just a team. Yeah, teams come and go at every level. Doesn't matter. I mean, we see it at the high school. You see it in colleges. You see it professionally. Teams win a World Series one year, and then it takes them 15 years to get back to the playoffs. Teams come and go. Programs allow for that opportunity to have another playoff berth in 15 years rather than rebuilding from year to year. So,
okay. So that's not only is it about winning on the field, it's, you know, winning to create a program and to generate continued interest in our community.
Well, and being able to show these young men that the lessons aren't just limited to the baseball diamond. You know, learning to build through failure is not just limited to the diamond, because you're going to go to 27 job interviews and get no's before you get that yes. That sounds a lot like going up to bat. You're going to go up there and swing 27 times before you actually connect and have that success that you've been working so hard towards. If you can't do it in a game like baseball, where really, in the grand scheme of things, that doesn't matter, how are you going to do it when you step out into the real world as an adult? And that's the theme that I'm really trying to show with these kids. That, yeah, we're here to work. We're here to work because we want to have success. We want that success to be more wins than losses. But as someone who has perspective, you know, as a 40-plus-year-old man in the real world, that perspective goes beyond wins and losses. That, it's more of the lessons and the process and how you get there. And that's what I really feel like we're trying to build with our program this year.
Well, Adam, thank you very much. 307 Net Radio wishes you and your program the best success this season. I hope it goes well for you and that you have some fun along the way.
It's already fun. Baseball's fun.
Yeah, and may it not be 120 degrees on center field all summer long.
Even if it is, we'll play through it. And I'm going to leave you with a schedule, too, so you have an opportunity if you'll...
Absolutely.
I'll make sure
that this is shared. Absolutely.
Or maybe I'll email it to you, yeah. One or the other. I didn't bring a paper schedule with me. Yeah. But I appreciate your platform, Kate. I like the direction you're taking things. I appreciate being able to be included in something like this.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you being part of this, and thank you for joining me this morning.
My pleasure.